My dear friends, it is a great privilege that we are allowed to worship and hear from God and His Word. But how great is the honor He puts upon us when He invites us to a communion with Himself at His holy table, where we may feast upon the fruits of Christ's sacrifice and hear Him say, "Eat, O friends, drink. Yes, drink abundantly, O beloved." That's from Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 1. O friends, you and I are unworthy of the least crumb that falls from His table, far less of being allowed to sit with Him at His table and eat of His bread. But since it pleases Him to honor us by inviting us to the marriage supper of the Lamb, oh, that He would also give us a wedding garment and prepare our hearts and grant us all the grace that comes when we commune with the King of Glory. Friends, may we hunger and thirst for the soul feast, the heavenly manna, and the water of life that is set before us this morning. Let us ascend Mount Calvary and go to the place where our dear Savior is to be seen as crucified before our very eyes. Oh, that there we might look on Him whom we have pierced and mourn for sin that made the nails and drove them into our Redeemer. May we there receive a crucified Christ into our broken hearts. Earlier in the upstairs of a house in Jerusalem, Jesus had been sitting at a table with His disciples. They had come to keep the Passover together, and it was the Savior's desire to be alone with them. He knew that His hour had come. He Himself was a true sacrificial lamb, and on the day the Passover was eaten, He was to be sacrificed. He was about to drink the cup of wrath that you and I deserve. He was soon to receive the final baptism of suffering. But before this time, He still had a few hours to spend helping His beloved disciples to see their true condition. Friends, Jesus' whole life had been one of unselfish service, not to be ministered unto, but to minister, Matthew 20:28. This was a lesson of His every act. However, the disciples had not yet learned this lesson, and in order to fix it in their minds and for an enduring example, Jesus repeated His teaching by an illustration that forever impressed it on their hearts and minds. Our precious Savior knew that the time had come for Him to leave this world and return to heaven. He was now in the shadow of the cross, and the pain was torturing His heart, for He knew that He would be deserted by everyone in the hour of His betrayal. He knew that He would be put to death like a common criminal and by the most humiliating process. He had come to save these very ones who were treating Him with such ingratitude and cruelty. He was making a very great sacrifice, and for many, it would be in vain. Just think now, my friends, knowing all that was before Him, He might naturally have been overwhelmed with the thought of His own humiliation and suffering. But as He looked at these 12 men who had been with Him as His own, He knew that after He was gone, they would be left to struggle in the world. Friends, Jesus was not thinking of Himself. The care of His disciples was uppermost in His mind. And on this last evening with His disciples, Jesus had much to tell them, and if they had been prepared to receive what He longed to share, they would have been saved from their heartbreaking anguish, disappointment, and unbelief. But Jesus saw that they could not bear what He had to say, and as He looked into their faces, the words of warning and comfort were stayed upon His lips. Moments passed in silence while Jesus appeared to be waiting, and the disciples became ill at ease. The sympathy and tenderness that had been awakened in their hearts by Christ's grief seemed to leave them. What He had told them in sorrowful words that pointed to His own suffering had made little impression, and they looked at each other with jealousy and with contention. You see, they were striving among themselves as to who should be the greatest, and this was done right in the presence of Jesus, which wounded and grieved Him. Each disciple still longed for the highest place in the kingdom. They had placed their own estimate upon themselves and upon one another, and instead of regarding each other as more worthy, they had placed themselves first. Now, how was Jesus to bring these poor souls to the place where Satan would not be able to cause them a great defeat? How could he show them that a mere profession of discipleship did not make them disciples or ensure them a place in his kingdom? How could he show them that it is loving service and true humility that is real greatness? How could he kindle love in their hearts and enable them to understand what he longed to tell them? As Jesus watched them, the disciples made no move towards serving one another. So Jesus, the divine teacher, rose from a table, took off his outer garment, and picked up a towel. This suddenly aroused the interest of the disciples, and they looked on in silence, waiting to see what was to follow. Well, Jesus poured water in a basin and began to wash their feet. This act finally opened the eyes of the blind. Bitter shame and humiliation filled their hearts. They got the message then and began to see themselves in an altogether new light. So Jesus thus expressed his love for his disciples. Friends, their selfish spirit filled Jesus with sorrow, but he entered into no controversy with them regarding their difficulty. Instead, he gave them an example that they would never forget. His love for them was not easily disturbed or quenched. How different from the way we treat others. And one of the last acts of his life on earth was to wrap himself as a servant and perform a servant's part. Isn't there a lesson in this for us? The Lord, dear Jesus, would have his disciples understand that although he had washed their feet, this did not in the least take away from his dignity. He told them, "You call me Master and Lord, and you're right, for so I am." John 13:13. And being so infinitely superior, he imparted grace and significance to the service. Dear friends, no one was so exalted as our Savior. And yet, he stooped to the humblest duty. Now, why did he do this? Well, so that you and I might not be misled by the selfishness which dwells in our very own hearts and which strengthens by self-serving. Now, this lesson is of such significance that Jesus himself, one equal with God the Father, would act as a servant to his disciples. While they were striving for the highest place, Jesus, to whom every knee shall bow, he whom the angels of glory count it an honor to serve, bowed down and washed the dirty feet of those men. He even washed the feet of his betrayer, Judas. My friends, God does not live for himself. By creating the world and by upholding all things, he is constantly ministering to others. He makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Matthew 5, verse 45. His whole life was under a law of service. He served all, and he ministered to everyone. And in this manner, he lived out the law of God, and by his example showed how we are to obey it. My dear friends, the Holy Spirit from heaven is present here right now to make this service one of soul-searching and conviction of sin and of the blessed assurance of sins forgiven. The dear Savior, in the fullness of his grace, is here to change the current of our thoughts that have been running in selfish channels. The Holy Spirit wants to quicken the sensibilities of each one of us who follow the example of our Lord. As the Savior's humiliation for us is remembered, a chain of memories should be called up, memories of God's great goodness and of the favor and tenderness of earthly friends. Blessings forgotten, mercies abused, kindnesses slighted, these should all be called to mind. Roots of bitterness that have crowded out the precious plant of love are made plain. Defects of character, neglect of duties, ingratitude to God, coldness towards each other, all should be called to remembrance. Sin is to be seen in the light God views it. Our thoughts should not be thoughts of self-complacency, but of severe self-censure and humiliation. Our minds should be energized to break down every barrier that has caused alienation. Evil thinking and evil speaking should be put away. Sins should be confessed so they can be forgiven. Then the subduing grace of the lovely Jesus will come into our soul, and the love of Christ will draw our hearts together in a blessed unity. Friends, whenever we keep this ordinance in this fashion, we're brought into a holy relationship to help and bless each other. I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you, said Jesus, and happy are you if you do them. John 13, verses 14 and 17. My friends, Seventh-day Adventists practice open communion. Anyone who feels their heart is open for Jesus is free to take part. We will separate now for the ordinance of humility. May God bless our service this morning with His presence. In Jesus' name, amen.